This episode of Going Forward is brought to you by Optimizer, an award-winning PPC management tool used by advertisers worldwide. Save time and boost the performance of your PPC campaigns on Facebook, Amazon, and Google or Microsoft. Get a 14-day free trial at optimizer.com/go/VIP.
Welcome to Going Forward, where inspiring conversations with leaders and entrepreneurs shape tomorrow. Dive into the depths of their journeys, the hurdles they've overcome, and the insights they bring to the future. Let's get moving right here, right now on Going Forward.
Man, Going Forward Nation, what's going on? You guys hear me say all the time, I got a special guest, but this one, man, this is going to be different. And I expect you to be able to open up a jewelry store after all the gems are going to be dropped today. I have on the line today my man, Mr. Stephen Smarage. And then I call him Steve, but you can call him Stephen, right, Steve?
You can, whatever you want.
So just to tell you guys a little bit about who Steve is, you know, in full disclosure, Steve and I worked together in another platform. He was just such an amazing guy, and more than anything, an amazing coach, right? He was an amazing coach in businesses. And not only is he a builder of men, but he's a builder of businesses. Some people that have worked with Steve, they've gone from $100,000 in sales per month up to $1 million in sales a month. And I got to tell you this, because you're going to see a lot of people online and different coaches and people saying, if you do this with me, I'll get you this. But I mean, I can tell you, Steve is one of those people. He knows his stuff. Not only is he interested in just in getting you sales, but he's also more interested in growing the person that you are so you can be a better business person. Steve, did I say anything wrong, dude?
That was the nicest intro I've ever had. Just in line with making more sales, I think the biggest opportunity for making more sales is getting a partnership with that shirt that you had in the intro video, that pink stripe one. Like, as soon as that one popped on, I was like, I got to buy that shirt. I need an affiliate link right now. That's an easy way to make more money right away.
Man, awesome, man. So, you know, Steve, there are going to be a lot of people that don't know who you are, right? And Steve, if you could briefly just tell the audience, like, you know, what you do, who you are and what you do.
I help business owners grow their business by being nice to people is the easiest way to say it.
Wow.
And so in the past 3 years now, I've consulted well over 800 business owners, anywhere from 100 grand a month to the highest business, or the biggest business that I was working with was $120 million a year in revenue. And I was working with their sales team directly.
Right.
And then the ultimate thing that I really focus on with companies is they come to me to scale. They don't come to me to like stabilize or et cetera. It's just really to just grow. And I think that's every business owner's goal at some point, depending on the season that they're in. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people who are really qualified to be in a season of scale. And then there's the people who force scaling. Mm. And so I love the people who are qualified to scale. And that's where I like, that's my zone of genius of like, we have too many leads. What do we do with all the leads? It's like, well, good. Now we're in the right place.
Well, Steve, like you said, it's good for people to come to you that are ready to scale. But then like, if we could back up a little bit, like how did you put yourself in a position where you knew how to do, you knew exactly how to do what you're doing now?
Just sheer volume. So I ran my own business. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I loved most about the business was leading the team, coaching the people, the employees, the staff, the sales team, et cetera, rather than me owning a business. And so I realized very quickly that I love being a high-level contributor to companies rather than I like having a company.
Wow.
And so I just love being able to provide value of like 20 employees for one company than having my own thing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what I've been able to hang my hat on. And so I had my own business and then ran multiple sales teams for 2 8-figure companies for about a year. I ran them synergistically with each other.
Yeah.
And then I transitioned into pure business consulting. And then I ran that for 18 months, moved into mergers and acquisitions where I ran 3 sales teams, where we grew one of them from 0 to 523 grand a month in cash collected in 90 days. Another one we took from 90 to 340 grand within 90 days. Wow. And then another one we took from 270 grand to 450K in 90 days. And so as soon as we acquired a company, they were like, hey, we got to make more money to make this investment worth it. I was like, here, guys, I will help make more money. Thank you. So, and now what I do is I consult business owners, and I have two companies that I run sales teams for. And ultimately, just the whole premise of what I'm trying to do and where I'm trying to go currently is to build enough of a CV of, look, I was nice to these salespeople.
Yeah.
And they outperformed all the other sales teams in the industry where everybody was yelling at them. So,
right. So, yeah. so that part didn't really work. Is like, you know, I came up in what I like to call it the 80s management, right? And the 80s management, it was kind of that era, like, you do this, you get this, you're fired.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you said like the being nice actually helped get more sales into people who were kind of doing the yelling and the screaming.
Dude, if for some reason, everybody's business coach has been Alec Baldwin and Leonardo DiCaprio. It was like, you either get a knife set a car or you get fired. And then it's right. Like, whatever Leonardo DiCaprio, like, he just lied to make money.
Right. Right.
And so it was like, that's like what sales coaching was. Like, that's how people learned how to do sales. Mm-hmm. And then they get into sales and then it's like, okay, well, I guess I gotta figure out how I can do this. So they just be loud and obnoxious. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm not doing good enough. What do I do? And then it's like, your boss just yells at you to do better.
Right. That's a big motivator to me, if you ask me.
Yeah. So the where I'm trying to get my life to, and right now it's like just building a body of work in order to like be the guy in order to execute this, mm-hmm. is create sales school, which right now sales is not a skill. Sales is something, sales is a bag of tricks where it's like, we hope that we say enough of the right thing and less of the wrong thing. And we meet the person at the right time and they buy. And if they don't buy, we stress them out until they buy and we stay on their ass and annoy them, etc.
Wow.
And so it's like, we ultimately don't have it as a skill currently. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't go to college as an apprenticeship and learn sales, but it's the highest paying career to have.
Yeah.
And I think it will only get even more high paid because human interaction, I don't think AI will replace in our lifetime.
Right.
I think AI will replace a lot of other things, but I don't think it's going to get to the point where it's like humans are no longer necessary in order to talk to each other. I think
it'll make processes a little more efficient, but it's not going to replace you. You still need a human.
I think so. Like, yeah. I think that teaching an AI empathy is going to take a long time. But what do I know?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's interesting. And I want to ask you this, so because like some of the, you know, people that you've helped build and some of the brands, companies that you've helped work with. Now, you know, the guy who's at 500,000, he doesn't have the same problem as, you know, the guy who's at 10 million, you know? So how do you actually get in and kind of, coach down and then coach up on those different levels? How do you do that?
You'd be surprised how similar the problems are. Because oftentimes it is not a lot. Oftentimes the success of the business is, number one, very dependent on the business owner.
Got it.
However, it's also dependent on the market, how good the offer was when they presented the offer to the market. Mm-hmm. And so if a business owner is capped at 500,000, like, I more so look at timelines of business ownership, mm-hmm. rather than revenue generated. So if somebody is a new business owner and they start a business, they go from zero to 500 grand a month within 90 days.
Yeah.
That person has to learn a lot very quickly.
Yes.
But it also means that they had a great offer at the right time.
Okay.
And so that offer has a way higher ceiling than an offer that goes from zero to 40K in the first 90 days. Mm-hmm. And so it says a lot about the offer, the business, the structure, etc.
Yeah.
As well, is that the problems that the business owner has to solve is being able to identify the right problem and the right constraint. So the only thing that really changes is the problems that they solve, rather than that they have different problems. And so they just have to get crystal clear on, like, okay, well, this is a constraint of my business.
Yeah.
And being able to audit, QC, make sure that they're reading dashboards, like doing like really boring work to figure out where the issue is, mm-hmm. is the dictator of like where that business will go. So it's like, can they accurately assess the problem? And if not, they just hire me. And then it's like, I don't know how to grow this thing. It's like, yeah, well, just do these two things and that'll probably work. And they're like, oh shit, I didn't think of that. And it's like, yeah,
right.
Fine. So the real skill of scaling is being able to identify the right problem. And then from there, the execute, because every entrepreneur that I know executes. They don't have a problem executing. And if they did, they probably wouldn't be a business owner.
Yeah.
But they often execute on the wrong thing, which keeps them stuck and creates more problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most successful business owners that I know solve the right problem the first time, or adjust quickly if they solve the wrong problem, or solve the problem that creates the least amount of consequences.
What if the business owner itself, like the majority of times I've seen, like it was the same for me, even in my case, just being honest, with like where the business owner is the bottleneck, you are the problem. And then they go sniffing around everything else in the office or in the organization to see like, well, what's the problem? Why aren't we growing? Why aren't we scaling? But then they don't know the problem's them. I mean, are there times where you have to give the hard notice to the business owner and say, the problem is you.
I think you can make that more specific. Like, I don't think that inherently any business owner is the issue. I think that they might have a skill deficiency that prevents the business from growing. Okay. And then I can have that conversation with them. Like, the reason why your business is not growing is because you don't know how to run a sales team, but here's how you grow a sales team.
Wow.
It's much more efficient than like, the business is not growing because of you. That just feels different. And it's like, that just eliminates their potential for the business to grow. And that's why you look at like a lot of burnout of like, oh, I have to exit my business or this thing just doesn't stand a chance. And it's like, no, you just know the skill of getting your business from 1 to 10 million, but you haven't learned the skill of 10 to 30 because it's totally different.
Wow.
And so it's like, it's a skill deficiency in the business owner rather than the business owner is the issue.
Do you run across times where it seems like you said it's a skill deficiency? So what if some business owners have a great operational sense, but they don't have a great sales sense, you know, and that is that the perfect time when you come in and you kind of teach them that sales sense, like what you're talking about?
100%. And so like, if somebody has an amazing product and they just want to work on their product, work on fulfillment, those are the best type of businesses to work on their sales team. Mm. So the entrepreneurs who love marketing and sales generally don't last very long unless they are willing to learn how to make a better product, how to run teams, how to build, etc.
Right.
And so if you know how to build, then you learn how to scale if you know how to build and then you learn how to scale, game's over. You can take 5 years to build something and then you learn how to sell, everybody will buy it. But if you take 5 years to learn how to sell and then a day to build something, everybody's going to know.
Are there like fundamental steps that you tell an entrepreneur, business owner that they have to take, Steve, on them building or scaling? I mean, what does that process look like for you? And like, what have you seen? You know, how does that work for you?
In terms of building a product?
Yeah, well, just like, let's just say they may need to learn how to build. They may have a great concept that can get them from, you know, let's just say zero to 100 grand, 500 grand per month. But then, like you said, they may not have the steps to learn how to scale. I mean, do you go in for those business owners and kind of create those fundamental steps on like, you should do A, B, and C? And how does that, and how do you recognize that inside of any business that you go into?
Nice. Great question. And so I think two things. It comes back to solving the right problem. And right. So what is the biggest opportunity? And this just comes down to like levers of like, okay, well, this business is currently optimized to sell on Facebook for whatever reason.
Got it. It's like,
it would be a very bad idea for me to recommend that they go to YouTube. And so oftentimes people will ask the question of like, okay, I need more money.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to do something different. It's like, no, you just said you needed more money. So just do more of the thing and then figure out what is stopping you from doing more of the thing.
Yeah.
So if you need to, I look for two things, more and better. What can we do more of? What can we do better? Volume and efficiency. It's the two magical variables of life. Like you either have to do more smart stuff and less dumb stuff, or you just have to do something better. Like, and there's no other variable that you can change. Volume and efficiency is like key metric. What do you do when you need to lose weight? Move more, eat less. Mm-hmm. More smart stuff, less dumb stuff. Like, yeah. Just immediately. And so then if I look at a business and I'm like, okay, well, what can we do more of? What can we do less of? Mm-hmm. Let's just pull these levers and figure out how we can do that. And then what is standing? So then the second question becomes, well, what is standing in our way from pulling these levers?
Right.
Is that the business owner thinks that it won't work? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then I can just supply data. It's like, if me just saying it doesn't work, then it's like, look, here's 15 different case studies in which I know this works. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't work, then the business owner inherently becomes the constraint. So that, okay, so good question. So now I'll take it back to the business owner being the constraint.
Got it.
Business owner, if they lack the skill of humility and being unable to change how they operate their business based on new data, they will remain stuck. Wow. So a huge skill that business owners need to develop is humility and being able to admit that they were wrong. And it's really tough to do because it was like, man, this thing that I just spent 4 years doing, that I have all of this reward from doing this thing, you're telling me on a 30-minute call I've been doing it wrong?
Man.
You're like, yeah, that's why you're stuck. Man.
It's funny. I there's so much truth to that, what you're saying. We had a guest on going forward about a month ago, runs a multi-million-dollar statewide firm. And, you know, he talked about the keys to success. And one of the things he was talking about was being good to people and just having empathy and humility. It wasn't anything that had to do with his business. It was just kind of exactly what you said about, you know, humility, you know. And my question to you now is, like, have you noticed like the most successful companies are ones that have CEOs that have humility in it?
The ones that I work with, 100%.
Wow.
I've had, here's a story to drive this home. So I had an entry-level salesperson book a call on my calendar. Mm-hmm. Booked a 30-minute call and I was like, oh, weird. I see them on meetings, but okay, like I'll take the call.
Yeah.
And this call made the business within 1 year $2.6 million.
Ooh. That's a great call.
They hopped on the call. They said, hey, these leads don't know that we're going to call them. Can we just tell them that we're going to call them? I'm like, oh my God. I was like, So we just started telling the leads that we were going to call them. Answer rates through the roof. Like our answer rate went to like 36%. And just based off our lead flow, et cetera, that will end up doing us an extra $2.6 million a year. Just from that one change.
Wow.
And so if I took that, so now this comes back to like the frame of the receiver. Mm-hmm. Like if I take that to be criticism, like this person's complaining, they're criticizing my process.
Right.
Then I'm not going to change it. I'm just going to blow it off and just going to be like, yeah, entry level Sally. She's got a problem. She just needs to try harder. She's got to pick up. Just got to call more leads. It's like, no, she actually made a really good point. Like, really good point. Wow. If you tell people you will do something and then you do it, they will actually like that you did that. I was like, fuck, that's really good. Man. So, and so if I lack the skill of humility, that would have never have happened. And that call probably would have never have been booked. They probably just would have kept that to themselves and, you know, maybe even left or like never said anything. And so like, I think humility comes from a lot of things of just straight up integrity of like owning the fact that you've messed up when you mess up.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it starts. Like there was one meeting I was late by like 4 minutes because of bathroom issues. There you go. And we're all human. And I got on the meeting. I was like, so I'm so sorry. I super messed up. I lost the battle. You know, I'm really sorry. And the whole team laughed. They were like, oh, no problem. Like, and then I got this comment later. And this guy sent me a private message on Slack. He's like, I've never had a boss apologize to the team. I was like, ever?
Wow.
I was like, really? I was like, we're all human.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I have more things figured out than you do. I just have more volume. And I've spent a little bit more time under the gun of like what this position is. So it's like, I feel confident in saying it, but at the end of the day, it's like everybody poops. It's like, like, sorry. And so it's like, just to like humanize it of like,
right.
It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't, like, at the end of the day, humans are human and everybody has like such a cool, unique experience on how they go through this planet.
Yeah.
How they go through the short amount of time that we all have together. It's like, I can learn so much from any other human that I talk to.
Wow.
And I think me having that inherently and always mm-hmm. having that, like, I think that's just been like something I've been raised with of like, I've always just found other humans very interesting. But that goes a very long way in terms of developing humility of like, I appreciate other people's perspectives because I know that I'm one of 8 billion people. Like, yeah. There's many other
perspectives. I've never, ever thought of that.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that. Appreciating everyone's perspective because you're one of many.
Yeah. Like, in my lifetime, I could, if I talk to enough people, I could live 100,000 different lives. Because I would get to understand how 100,000 different people lived. And that's the coolest shit to me. People are like, you only live once. I was like, if you don't talk to anybody, maybe.
Damn. Never thought of that. Dude, what a great outlook, man. How did you develop that? How did you develop that mindset where you were like, you know, hey, I'm one of 8 billion people and I want to listen to other people's perspective, and you have a way of living 100,000 lives by talking to so many people. How did you get that mindset? Because a lot of people are closed-minded when it comes to that.
Nice. I think we all came out of the same stuff. Like, we all come from the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether you want to put labels on like arbitrary lines on the ground that says that we're from different countries and then we fight wars or whatever, or if you want to like state that you believe in a different God, whatever, it's like we all came from the same stuff.
Yeah.
And you have or grew up in a place that believes certain things. That to me is interesting. I came from a place in which, like, you know, we said grace at dinner and that was pretty much it. Like, we didn't have like a wildly spiritual practice. But I know people who do. And I think that's so cool. Like, and I think that people really honor that and take it very, very seriously and like rightfully so. But me being able to not necessarily abide by any specific religion or political views, etc., I just get to observe. And in observing things, I've taken so much peace in that of like, humans do human things. And me getting to observe many different humans, I get to have many different experiences.
Man.
And I quite like that. Like, it serves me well.
I mean, our producer, Pete, he's going to eat up listening to this podcast episode. I want us to take a break and I want to come back and I want to talk about not lying. You had something you posted on IG a while ago, and it was like, you know, lies will only set you back. So I want to talk about, we talked about humility. I want to come back and talk about not lying. And I think this is something a lot of business owners probably need to pay attention to. All right. So we're going to take a break. Going Forward Nation, we'll be right back.
Hold tight, listeners. We're taking a brief pause. Going Forward, we'll be back shortly with more insightful conversations.
Supplier, flyer.
Hey, it's Eric here from VIP Marketing, and I want to ask you digital marketers something. Are you frustrated with your current PPC marketing campaigns? Well, I want to tell you about a tool that we use here at our agency. It's called Optimizer. You have the ability to get your reports up to date and make sure that you get alerts on them. You can even work into workflows as well. So if you're frustrated with your campaigns right now and the reporting systems that you use, I want to give you a 14-day free trial of Optimizer. Go to optimizer.com/go/VIP.
Hey, Going Forward Nation, what's going on? It's Eric Elliott, your host of the Going Forward podcast. And I wanted to make this video because our team came up with something really cool to reward our listeners. There's tons of podcasts out there that you can listen to, but you listen to ours. And we want to thank you and show you our appreciation by giving you something special. And hold on, you've heard us talking about it a little bit. We've been teasing it a whole lot, but there's a catch to it. The purpose of our podcast is to make sure that we help businesses and individuals and people or even our community be in a better place than we found it. So I want you to tell us exactly how you've changed your community. That's right, it's just that easy. And the way that you can do is go to my website, ericelliott.com, or go to vipmarketing.com/going-forward, and just fill out the form. Fill out the form for your chance to be able to win that $100 gift card from Amazon. That's right, the $100 to Amazon. You can spend it on whoever you want to spend it on, buy whatever you want to be able to buy. And we're going to reward you just for being an amazing listener. We're going to make sure we give that giveaway. It's going to be around April 10th. So I want to make sure that you know all about it and that you go ahead and fill in your information so that you can be that winner. And we want to thank you so much for being a great listener. And if you feel our podcast has been awesome for you and you've gained from it and you've gotten some value, make sure you share it or go online and give us a great rating.
Welcome back to Going Forward. We hope you're recharged because we've got an exciting second half waiting for you. Get ready to dive deeper and be inspired. Let's keep the momentum going.
All right. For those folks who are just joining us on Going Forward, I'm here with my man, Steve Smarge. We're actually talking about, you know, business owners and scaling. We're going to dive a little deeper. And we ended talking about humility and business. But now I want to go into something that Steve had in some of his content. And it was about not lying. And it was like, you know, lies will only set you back. And we've all heard that old saying, you know, nothing but the truth will set you free. But Steve, you know, tell me about why you said and how this applies to business, because this is good for personal, you know, lies will set you back. But how does that also help inside business? And let's talk about your perspective on that.
It contributes to, once again, solving the wrong problem. Mm. If we have incorrect data, we do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And I hate doing the wrong thing. Mm. If we have incorrect evaluations of things because we're trying to maintain our own egos or give lip service to our manager, mm-hmm. we can't help anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody doesn't present to me that they have a problem and I assume that they have zero problems and they're doing the job 100% correctly, well, then the job is the issue.
Mm.
But if somebody says, hey, I have problems, I'd be like, okay, well, can we solve them? Probably. Most problems you can solve. So one of the core values with all companies that I work with is state the facts and tell the truth.
Mm.
Number one, because lying, when you lie, you have to remember what you said, which automatically makes things more stressful. Like, you have to keep track of lies and like the lie within the lie. And then it's like, you realize that you're like George Costanza and you're like, I've never eaten a potato before in my life. Who are you? What are you talking about?
Right, right.
Like, oh my goodness. And so I've realized that you can bypass almost all corporate political like bureaucracy just mm-hmm. by speaking from the heart.
Mm.
So I had this one meeting with a manager of mine. So she reports to me actively.
Mm-hmm.
And she said something on a meeting. And I realized that in a meeting that her and I had one-on-one, I had said something incorrect, or I had said, I approve this thing. Now we're on a group meeting with her, myself, and the board. And she says something that I initially agreed with on our one-on-one, and I disagreed with it in public. And wow. I totally forgot that I gave her the approval on a one-on-one. And if I was corporate background, or like, there are so many ways that I could dress this up.
Right.
I apologized.
Right.
Or I could have just not addressed it. But I sent her that. I just called her. I was like, hey, first off, I love you a ton. And I'm so sorry because like, I gave you this approval. I totally forgot that I did that. And then in the meeting, I didn't realize until 2 hours later, that's why I'm calling you. I'm going to address this and let the team know that I gave you the approval. And this is 100% my fault.
Wow.
Thank you for not throwing me under the bus. But like, man, I feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she felt that. And she was like, oh, and now what happens? It's like, she knows that I care about her. She can trust me. She's not worried that I'm going to do the same thing again. She understands that it was a mistake. And once again, we all poop. Therefore, we also all make mistakes. And I think it's just easier if you state the fact that you made a mistake and messed up and then move on. And so like, if you make a mistake and then cover it up, you've already lost.
Yes, I agree.
Like and we have inherently, speaking for myself, I have done that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, and reinforcement patterns contribute to this, of course. Like if you lie about how much money you have in your bank account and then you get a high five, you will more than likely say that number again, or maybe even a bigger number. But if you just state the facts and tell the truth and tell people how much money you actually have, and then you can actually look in the mirror and be like, yeah, I do feel good about that.
Yeah.
That means yeah. more. And so it's like, and if you do that, so if you feel the need to lie in order to impress people, just become more impressive.
You know, Steve, man, what a great topic. And we are in an age now where everyone gets online and they say, I'm a coach. And people don't know. And sometimes people just don't have a discernment to really sniff out the bullshit, to be honest with you. So like, you know, and everything that I'm hearing from you, Steve, I've seen it and I've witnessed it. You are that kind of guy. But what are people to do when they don't know if the person is lying? They're not going to have a Steve that's going to call them and say, I screwed up. Let me make that public that I screwed up. How do people know who's the right coach to work or the right company to be able to be with? How do they know, Steve?
Can you show me your previous business before you became a coach? That's like, if their coaching business is their first business, you're already fucked. Like if you start a coaching business with having right. no previous business experience,
mm-hmm.
high probability you tell me to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me show you how to build a high ticket offer. It's like, huh? What define those words?
Right.
What is high ticket? What is offer? What do these words mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're a coach and they have not built a business or they don't mm-hmm. have a reasonable CV, I would just go off of that.
Wow.
Or if you ask for a track record and they can't provide one, immediate problem. And so, and then the counter to this is like, if you're a new coach and it is your first business, don't start with business coaching.
Yes.
Like I don't.
I agree.
Like start with something that you know, something that you dominate. Like if you are incredibly disciplined or you have, you know, a super special way that you help people or whatever, start with that. Like I didn't start with business coaching. I started with weight loss because I worked at a gym for 6 years.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I feel pretty good that I can help Joanne lose 40 pounds. Like mm-hmm. I feel pretty good about this.
Yeah.
And so I started charging people more money to do that thing.
Wow.
And I felt fine doing it. And then after I built my business and I ran two sales teams very successfully, I was like, I think I can tell other people how to do this.
Yeah. One of the things I heard you say before, hey, you referred to yourself as the buff hippie.
Yeah.
and that goes into one of the things that you talk about being able to have discipline in what you're doing. Do you think a lot of entrepreneurs or even the most successful ones that they have some type of discipline that they put into their daily regimen? Or they have to? Is it important for them, Steve?
I think discipline is the most important thing. So I think without, because, and here's why. So if we look at volume and efficiency, mm-hmm. both of those two things are solved if you do something for long enough.
Right.
So, and how do you do things for a long time? You stay disciplined to it.
Yeah. Or have reps, right?
Exactly. So many people can pick a plan. Many people can make decisions. Sticking to the plan is very difficult to do. And so solving for how do I stick to the plan is solving for, or basically asking the question, how can I get more disciplined? And so there's the way in which you get disciplined is the first 20 hours, the first 10 to 20 hours of doing anything, it's all going to suck. Wow. And you just have to accept that. So you just have to accept that the first 20 hours of you learning a new skill, you're going to be terrible.
Yes.
You're just going to be. So I started making videos, content videos, and the first 20 were horrible. And I was so okay with that. I was actually quite glad. They were so bad that somebody left a negative comment and I went, yes, I know.
Why? Why would you say yes? Why would you say yes?
Because that was the reward I wanted. Mm. So I attributed some, because I know that all successful people that I know with a big brand have people who are haters, people who leave dumb comments. Mm. My first dumb comment was a milestone. I was like, oh, this is what they're talking about. This is what they mean when they say the people who comment on YouTube videos. Look, there it is. There's a dumb guy on my YouTube. I can't believe it. Like, I'm in the cool kid crowd.
Yeah.
And so I just framed this socially negative thing of somebody making a dumb comment. I just framed it as a huge positive because it just meant that I was on the right track.
You know what? I had a guess a long time ago. He got a lot of negative comments and he ended up using that negative into a positive and turning it into the name of his multi-million dollar company and selling his company.
Amazing.
All from a negative.
Amazing.
Isn't that something?
And it's, what's that?
I said, isn't that something?
That's crazy.
He took that negative, you know, like he was from the Middle East and people would, you know, he was his descent. I think he's a Lebanese descent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he grew up in Arkansas and, you know, he was, you know, cowboy like the rest of them. And they called him, kind of a slur. You know, they use like camel rider or something like that. And you know what he did? He's like, you know, when he made it, he made the mascot of his company the camel. And he made the mascot of his company the camel and named his company with, you know, the first two letters of what they used to call him.
Oh my god.
Multi-million dollar company. It was kind of like what you said by taking a negative and making it a positive.
Yeah.
And that's damn.
And I think if you can take rewards, because you're going to get, and this always comes back to like the eye of the beholder, right? Like if I attribute this thing to be a negative, well, okay. If I attribute it to be a positive, also okay, whatever. And so I just take the observation approach of like this thing happened.
Yeah.
Which serves me very well. And so I tried to take rewards from the negative and I tried to remain neutral from the positive as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Is it nice when somebody texts me and says that they're doing well in their business? Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But does that dictate how likely I am to continue to do the thing? Maybe. Mm-hmm. So there was a note that there was a side quest I was going to go on. Framing things as a negative.
Yep. You were talking about framing it from a negative, and we talked about positive, and I told you about how the guy actually used that negative in his business.
Thank you. So we have the ability to attach opinions to just about anything.
Yeah.
So one of the most beautiful case studies that I've seen of a woman on my sales team, she had breast cancer, she had complications, she had like four surgeries, they left a gauze in her chest, so they had to go back in, it got infected, she got septic, like whole thing.
Oh.
This entire time, she did not take a week off. She just showed up, changed lives. And she was the most inspirational on the entire team.
Yeah.
And so vividly, I just remember her going, yeah, well, it's what I make it. just like woman's going through the worst 6 months of her life. She's just like, yeah, it's what I make it. It's like, my goodness. And so being able to find like not only the ability to get up and keep going, but also just to like inspire other people in the hardest time of your life, I thought that was just an incredible feat of will, an incredible feat of service.
It's absolutely just
remarkable.
Absolutely. You know, I love referencing some of the content, you know, that you have up before. That reminds me of something like you said, like what you just told me about the woman just now. It's like you had something where you're like, you know, you want to change your life, change your environment, you know? And that person, you know, like she was going through all these things, but she's like, she changed her mindset too.
Totally.
You know, so when you start coaching people, it's not always just on the business level. Sometimes you're coaching them to be better humans too, right?
I try very hard to be. Like I try so hard to get people to understand that like you only get to do the thing once.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking cosmic miracle you are here in the first place.
Yeah, man.
Like a total fluke. Any of this is happening. Like when you think about it this way, for me to get like real hippie, like when you think about it this way, it is incredibly inconvenient that the universe exists at all. Like it would have been way easier for there have to been nothing for all of eternity. Like it would have been way easier. They're just nothing never happened. But instead, something happened and we're here. And this thing makes sound. Like,
yeah.
And so people get so wrapped up in like, oh, I have to say all these right things because on this SOP and then this training that I follow about WMIS and workplace safety. And like, it's like, dog. It's like just human to human right now.
Mm-hmm.
You get to do this thing once. You can, and damn, nobody will blame you for how you would like to live your life.
Damn.
If you are faced with a challenge, if you are faced with a broken leg, if you're faced with a arm chopped off, if you're, and I understand, I say this as an affluent white male with basically no issues in front of me. Like I get that. Also, everybody has problems.
Yeah.
So I've gone through in the past like 4 months, probably the hardest personal and professional 4 months of my life. And honestly, nobody would have blamed me if I just didn't show up. Everybody would have understood.
Wow.
Everybody would have got it. They would have been like, oh yeah, he's just going through stuff. But I would have known. I wouldn't have liked myself. I would have been in a really tricky spot.
Yeah.
And I would have woken up, looked in the mirror and been like, not happy with this guy. And so I will give you an example that hits home. So in the past four, so you mentioned changing your environment.
Yeah.
And so there was a point for about 10 to 14 days, maybe a little bit longer, where every time I would shower, I would cry. Every time.
Wow.
And maybe even a little bit longer. And so I realized that I started crying when I put my speaker in the bathroom and I would play sad music. So I just removed the fucking speaker. And then look at that. No more crying in the shower. So oftentimes you have to look at like what cues do you have in your environment that contribute to the state that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Like depressed people will do depressing things.
You're damn right they will.
Me listening to depressing music in the shower is a high likelihood that I will probably bawl my eyes out. Me listening to September by Earth, Wind & Fire, basically impossible to bawl my eyes into that song. you ain't crying to Boogie Wonderland. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's like, just give yourself a chance. And so when I wanted to pursue entrepreneurship, I watched an Alex Becker video. And he talked about this in a very direct military way. He was like, if you would like to do something and you have things getting in the way, he mentioned video games. He's like, have you considered destroying your PlayStation with a baseball bat? I was like, I do play a lot of PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would also like to be Alex Becker. This is like 21-year-old me. And so I literally took my baseball bat and destroyed my PlayStation. And I have yet to play PlayStation since then. And I was like, good, whatever that means. Like I went to like tournaments and stuff for video games. Wow. Crazy, right? And I was like, nah, I should probably like make money and make jokes on the internet. That feels more productive. So in looking at like how you can change your environment to set you up for success, my coach, Trevor Cash, he's the smartest man in the world. He has this one sentence and I basically pay him to talk to him for an hour. And this is probably the smartest thing he's ever said to me. Mm-hmm. He said, make it as easy as possible to work as hard as you can. Remove all distractions and make it as easy as possible to work as hard as you can.
Damn.
Because wow. Then you have no, then it's like excuse isn't even in your vernacular. It's like you just work because wow. It's easy.
Damn. That's it. I'm trying to break that down. Make it as easy as possible to work as hard as you can.
Yep.
You said something earlier. You said there was three things to make hard work easier. It was intensity, it was stress and concentration, energy, all of these things. Break that down for me, like the three things that you feel like you need to do to make work easier.
The things that I need to do to make work easier is understand what reward I'm working towards. Like, what carrot am I currently chasing?
Got it.
So this is what it does for me now. When I first started and I was $110,000 in debt and I had to have my girlfriend pay for my gas and my 07 Corolla, true story, I was like, I just don't want to ever be in this situation ever again. Mm-hmm. Never. So I had a stick to run away from. And I ran so far and so long and just didn't look up from that stick. And so that's a really good 0 to 1. It was just pure violence. Like, I refuse to be in this situation ever again. But now I can gain a lot of meaning from life by being useful, by doing it often and doing it well.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm pursuing something that I deem to be useful, which the way that I deem it to be useful is either it helps me later or it helps other people now or later. That's useful.
Got it.
If I do it often, which is a frequency in which I can maintain doing it well. So as long as I can apply my best effort to it by doing it well, I will do it as often as that allows. And so does it make sense for me to go run 20 miles today? No, because I won't be able to do that tomorrow. And so doing it well trumps doing it often. Always quality over quantity. And so in order for me, you ever hear the expression, it's like practice makes perfect?
Yeah, I've heard that before. And Les Brown said he'd defunct that. He tried to defunct that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Practice makes permanent.
Mm-hmm.
If you practice the wrong thing, you will do the wrong thing more often.
Yeah, Steve, I want to recommend a book. What you're saying, gosh, it just gets me. Like I was kind of immersed in this Arnold Schwarzenegger book called Be Useless.
Oh, so good.
Oh, it's so good. And one of the things that he was talking about was, you know, when he started competing for Mr. Olympia and he was like, you know, in the beginning he wasn't winning. He was like, well, my calves were the problem. And he just started doing all these calf workouts. He was like, my calf and my neck should be like the same size, my calf, my biceps and my neck. And he had like just a system, right? Mm-hmm. And he's talking about like how you were talking about just being able to do it well, do the exercises well. He says, I see guys all the time, they may be pulling weight, but they're not pulling it in the correct form and they're not getting the result that they want. Like what you're saying right now about, you know, don't just do it often just to get in there and say you're going to do a bunch of reps, but do it well.
Do it well.
Yeah.
And like, why would you not? Like, why would you not make the bed and then put all the nice decorative pillows on it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they look silly. It's like, no, they don't. They're kind of nice. Like, shut up. Like, you know that the bedroom looks nicer. Right. Yeah. And so it's like, just do the thing well. Like, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it well.
Steve, I want people to you know, think beyond, because like, you know, there's from what you're talking about, there's so many different levels when it comes to business and people taking care of themselves and being nice, telling the truth, you know, like all of these things, I think people forget as they get immersed in business.
Totally.
They forget about it as long as they are immersed in business. Like, you know, I'm dating myself a little bit here, but when I was coming up, we looked around, mm-hmm. you know, we looked around, things were happening. Now we look down at a cell phone. Mm. And it's almost like we've lost like some of the fundamentals of life, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and we lost some of the fundamentals of life. And we talk about like pandemics and things like that. Well, one of the big pandemics mm-hmm. that happened to us is like cell phones. We lose focus from these things. Mm-hmm. So how do you help people to retool the lens in their life to regain focus?
Excellent question. The more interaction that you have with human beings, even on Zoom, mm-hmm. the more consistent that you will want to be.
Yeah.
So if your only reward for the words that you say come from social media where there's no consequences,
wow,
then you will have a lot of issues maintaining mm. a character that you believe is strong. Mm. So if I'm to right now lie to you and call you a mean thing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you would respond negatively. I would be punished for saying that thing just because it like doesn't feel good. Like if I go, oh man, your haircut's awful, you would go, hey.
Right.
Immediately I'm punished. And I know that I shouldn't do that. Like that behavior. So I did a behavior, you punished it.
Wow.
We don't have that on social media. You can fire off a comment, hit send, check your bank account. Oh, you made $200. Mm. You just got $200 as a reward for saying a mean comment on the internet.
Yeah.
Just due to proximity. The likelihood that you continue to say dumb shit on the internet because of that, way higher. And so just like gut checking yourself, for lack of a better term, of like, how much time are you actually talking to people? Mm. Because the happiest people that I know, all they do is talk to people. Mm. And when I walk down the street, I love saying hello to people. I love talking to people. I love going through the grocery store and making dumb jokes that nobody laughs at. And I'll be like, I'll get you next time. My partner and I, we play this game called Break the Face, which is like, how quickly can we get somebody to go from like their like Instagram scrolling, doom scrolling, like everything's a problem. You know, they're like looking like 13 different types of rice and like can't make a decision. It's like, okay, how quickly can I break this face? How quickly can I get them out of that?
Wow.
And so I'd be like, oh, you know, Uncle Ben was actually my uncle. He'll go, ah, nice. And so it's like, just something. And it's like, that just takes them from like this, oh, everything's a nightmare and my life is miserable moment to like,
yeah,
that was kind of cool. And so I think that the more that you can expose yourself to that, the more that just translates to being a good business owner, because you would just be a better human who understands that your employees are also people.
That's true. And people do forget that.
And also not only your employees, your fucking customers.
Right.
And so prime example of this, I know we're coming up on time, I'll end with this, but a prime example of this is I had a business owner who was trying to optimize this process. They were like, yeah, we're trying to get double booking so that they could, and then we also have this so that it's, you know, they have the highest likelihood of showing. And so they had this third calendar, basically. But they didn't have enough sales reps to answer the third calendar. So basically, prospects were booking a call and nobody was there to take it, but they might be. And so it was always to just get like the business to have the sales team to have as much call volume as possible. I was like, okay. And so they asked the question, they were like, how do I get this system to work better? I was like, is this a system you even want? Or did some, you know, rich white dude who told you to do it just tell you to do it and then you did it?
Yeah. It's like, just something they adopted or yeah, they
exactly. And so I was like, let's say that this system works. Let's say that we make this thing work. You sent this person 9 text messages that you were going to show up to this appointment. And you didn't show up. What's the likelihood that person buys? Like if you book a reservation at a restaurant, you show up to that reservation. And they go, hey, we don't have a table for you. Do you ever go back to that restaurant?
That's true.
Right. And so it's like, just if you're going to think about the human at the end of the line, and it's like, it's not just numbers on a spreadsheet. It's not your cost per lead. It's like, you have human beings who would like the thing that you provide.
That's what business is. Humans to humans, man.
Yeah. And so it's like, just cut the noise and realize that, like, you have a human being who has a life prior to this conversation that you can help.
Wow. I wanna take a final break, and I can't let you go. We've already talked about, you know, how men handle things. We talked about sales, we talked about business. I want to talk about leadership and what that means. So I want to take a break. I want to come back. If you don't mind, I want to pick your brain, because people hear that word all the time and I don't think they know what the hell it means. You know what I mean? So I want to take a break and come right back and go into leadership. Okay.
Do it.
Hold tight, listeners. We're taking a brief pause. Going forward, we'll be back shortly with more insightful conversations.
What happens when you're stranded on an island after a car accident? Feel all alone? Feel like you're stuck?
Guys, come here, I think I found something. It's a phone. It says to call all nines.
That call changed everything.
It's George Sink.
George!
All nines was the right call. Calling all nines will help you get out of here and get you the help you need. Feel like you're on a deserted island after an accident? George Sink Injury Lawyers has the experience to help you get your money faster. Hurt? Call all nines now.
Hey, it's Eric here from VIP Marketing, and I want to ask you digital marketers something. Are you frustrated with your current PPC marketing campaigns? Well, I want to tell you about a tool that we use here at our agency. It's called Optimizer. You have the ability to get your reports up to date and make sure that you get alerts on them. You can even work into workflows as well. So if you're frustrated with your campaigns right now and the reporting systems that you use, I want to give you a 14-day free trial of Optimizer. Go to optimizer.com/go/VIP.
Welcome back to Going Forward. We hope you're recharged, because we've got an exciting second half waiting for you. Get ready to dive deeper and be inspired. Let's keep the momentum going.
All right, Going Forward Nation, we're back with my man, Steve. Man, we've been talking about men. We've been talking about sales. We've been talking about business. And I can't let him off the line, so I'm holding you. I'm holding you until you talk to me about this. You can take as long as you want here, but this is important. And the last one is leadership. And I want to ask you about this, because we see all these memes online about the manager versus the leader. What is a leader? What is leadership? What is leadership? Is everyone a leader just because of position and title that they have? What is your definition?
Great question. I will give you, rather than my definition, I will give you somebody who I would like to be led by.
Oh, me, Steve? Is that me?
I would prefer to be led by the leader who stands at the front of the battlefield, rather than the leader who barks orders from the castle.
Mm.
So you can take that a number of different ways.
Yeah.
But I think that the number one quality that a leader has is care. They know how to make not only instructional or clear instructions in order to how to do the job, but they also make emotional investments so that the person doing the job feels supported that they can do the job well.
Damn.
And so the best leaders that I know are the ones that consistently make emotional investments that matter when they matter. What is an emotional investment? It's the unexpected, hey, you did great today. It's the unexpected, dude, I know you're going through a rough patch. Just know that I got you. I'm here for you. We got this. You can't fake care. You just can't do it. And so, is care a skill that you can be trained on? I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, no one has a care class.
No. So the best leaders that I know are the ones who genuinely just want the best for their team.
Wow.
Not so that their team does well so that they make money. They want their team to do well so that they make money.
Yeah.
Prime example is, I got one guy, he's a manager of mine, and He's like, Steve, I want to make 10 grand a month. And so he starts working, and he's working like 60 hours a week. He's like, this is hard. I was like, this is what making $10,000 a month feels like. Like, dude, I care about you. I want you to hit your goals. I just need you to accept the fact that it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, huh. Like, that was calming. I was like, you're not doing anything wrong. You're doing a lot. A lot of it is incorrect, and we'll correct it. But you're not wrong in feeling like it is hard to make 120 grand a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, in making that, you know, and I think people have to have respect for that too, because I think nowadays, you know, people have the expectation, but they don't put up the effort, or some don't want to put up the effort to be able to do that. And I think true leadership is, like you said, all those things, but also giving them a pathway to say, if you want to do this, I'm going to help you, but it's not going to be easy.
Dude,
and leaders got to tell the truth too. You know,
I think the best leaders give clear expectations and reward you when you do the thing correctly. And I think that they know how to set the expectation.
Yeah.
So prime example is I had a business owner that I consult, and they were like, how do I get this person to do this? I was like, have you put that in their job description?
Mm.
No. Oh, okay. I think we should start with that. Like, do they have clear instructions to follow?
Yeah.
So this is a great rebuttal to this of like, how do I get my person to do this? How do I get this staff member to do this thing? I was like, how would you get them to build a piece of IKEA furniture? Oh, they would just follow the instructions. I'm like, I think they just need instructions.
Damn.
And so a lot of times people need to know how to do something and when they have done it correctly. If you can educate them on how to do something and give them a unit of measurement to know that they have done it correctly, they won't need you. If you're the only measurement of them doing it correctly, they will need you. So just remove that. That could just be telling them what it looks like when it's done correctly.
Wow.
So a basketball coach will teach somebody how to throw a basketball into a hoop. For the first 20, they'll adjust this, they'll do this, they'll do this. They'll be like, oh, I can drop the hip, do this, whatever. And each micro adjustment, as long as they get closer to shooting the basket, they are getting rewarded for it.
Yeah.
And then the first time that the person shoots a basket correctly, they've got rewarded from the environment. So the coach no longer needs to provide the reward for the successive approximations to the result because they are getting rewarded from the environment. So when I'm teaching sales reps how to perform the script, they might think that they did everything wrong because the prospect didn't buy. But I'll be like, hey, no, you did this really well. You did this really well. This part, we could use a little bit of work. We'll talk about that. But you also did this really well.
Damn.
They'd be like, oh my God, I thought the whole call was atrocious. I thought I ruined the company's reputation. They're like, no, that was all pretty fine. I think we can improve this. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. Then they improve it. The next call, they get the sale. So it's like, I have to reward them for doing the things correctly,
yeah,
even though the environment hasn't rewarded them.
Mm.
Once the environment begins to reward them, I'm needed less.
Yeah.
Not at all, but definitely less. So this is the difference between instructing and leading.
Damn.
And you cannot lead unless you instruct. Like, if you expect somebody to do something and you have not instructed them to do it, you're the problem.
No, I love that, Steve. I love that. But before we go, Steve, tell people some of the industries. If you could real quick, tell them the industries that you've worked in or worked on, because I don't want them to think you only work in one sector.
Oh, my goodness. I've worked in a lot. I've worked with SaaS companies, Medicare companies, telehealth companies, stem cell. I've worked with real estate. I've worked with commercial real estate, if you want to separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with cleaning, solar. Comtech. The list goes on. Wow. I could probably stay here for a lot longer.
Wow. And that's good. And I want to encourage people, and we're going to put your contact info out. But I want to encourage them to be able to reach out to you, because each one of those silos has a different approach, a different mindset, different leadership. And then, you know, what I've seen you do before is kind of jump into each of those roles to be able to advise them in there. Steve, how do people find you and get in touch with you?
The Buff Hippie on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. It's all just the Buff Hippie. We're sticking with it. My friend said, wouldn't it be funny if you called yourself the Buff Hippie? And I said, that's actually hilarious. I am going to do that. Wow. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I'm pretty sure I have TikTok, are all the Buff Hippie. And they will be ideally the links in the bio.
Man, well, Steve, you've been an amazing guest. I want you to hold the line and then talk to Golden. I'm going to talk to Golden Forward Nation and just tell them, if you feel this podcast has been good for you, you got some jewels. I told you it's going to be a jewelry store with all those gems he was dropping around. Make sure you go online, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and give us a great rating. Until next time, I want to thank you guys at Going Forward Nation for sticking with us and giving us your most valuable asset, which is your time. We appreciate you. I want to thank you all for giving us your most valuable asset, your time. And also a huge thank you to our sponsors over at Optimizer. For all of you who are running PPC campaigns and you want to see how to do it better and get better results and actually boost the performance of your campaigns and save time, get a free trial at optimizer.com/go/VIP.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate our podcast and share it with a friend. Every share, every comment, every rating propels us forward. For more content, insights, and updates, visit ericelliott.com. Remember, your journey, your story is what keeps us going forward. Until next time.
Hey, Going Forward Nation, it's Eric Elliott. I want to thank you for listening to the latest episode of Going Forward. And also, I want to ask you guys, if you enjoyed that episode, make sure you go on and give us a great rating wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And also, send this out to any of your colleagues that you feel that could benefit from this message. I want to thank you guys for giving us your most valuable asset, which is time. Thank you so much.